AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction.
Hey, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Joe V filling in for Chip. Chip is fishing today, and I'm doing the radio. This is all backwards. It's supposed to be the opposite. Welcome to AgriTalk.
Live from Varsity Tuesday via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll talk with Dwayne Bossy from Bolt Marketing. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now filling in for Chip from Standard Grain, Joe Vaclavic.
Davis, my man, I feel like I haven't hosted in a while. I probably haven't. It's been at least a couple of months. So I'm kind of trying to shake the cobwebs off a little bit, you know?
You're doing great so far. We're off to a good start.
Yeah, I haven't called it a market rally yet, and I haven't messed up anybody's name, so we're doing all right. We had a nice day in the markets today, I would say. We had a little bit of a recovery late. Higher close in the corn, higher close in the beans. Even the wheat was able to shrug off some negative news and came back to close close to unchanged. So not a bad looking deal here. Not the most exciting stuff, but certainly could have been worse.
No, a solid performance, I would call it. You know, every day can't be a parabolic move upward as much as, you know, some would like it to be. It's just not in the cards every day, Joe.
Well, the markets, the row crop markets especially, I would say, are still certainly in like uptrend, kind of like bull market territory here, even though we've consolidated as of late. I mean, if you were to pull up any chart of corn or soybeans, we're still very much in an uptrending market. We just kind of like the market just needs a breather here. You know, it's just needs to kind of catch its breath. We've got a big acreage report coming up. We've got the growing season all in front of us here. Maybe the market just needs a little bit of a breather, you know?
Well, and that's the thing. We are, you know, I did a hosted a webinar for a Field Days Planting Edition just this morning. I was talking
weather with Kirk Hinz. Well, aren't you fancy? Look at you.
I'm fancy. Oh, wow. I'm fancy.
Wow.
Gel in my hair is like still holding it in place. I look fantastic right
now,
by the way.
Wow. Wow.
But it kind of got me to thinking, you know, that there are certain times of the year when we start talking about stuff. Well, now it's weather market time, and now it's, you know, we're looking at export, whatever. You know what I mean? We're coming up on planting time, but it almost feels like we've maybe sort of entered the season where it's the holding pattern before planting time. So maybe this is the kind of price action we should be expecting right now.
Well, it's not the growing season yet, although it's going to be pretty soon. I mean, you're going to start hearing a lot more reports of corn planting, you know, over the next few weeks down south and into the southern plains, those sort of areas. But yeah, we're not quite there yet. And really that March 31st report is kind of like the unofficial kickoff. It seems like things, weather depending, of course, can really start getting moving after that.
For sure. Yeah. Well, and
so, you know,
so here we are.
Here we are. So let's go to the news.
All right. Well, May soft red winter wheat futures opened higher in a continuation of Monday's rally, but retreated. Prices fell to 6.31¼ overnight, but paired about a dime of those losses by mid-session. Futures were able to bounce off a test of the 100-day moving average at 6.30. A close above 6.47¾, that's in the soft red, would be the first sign that prices may have reached a short-term bottom. Prices were pressured by crop condition reports from key wheat growing areas today. July hard red wheat 0.75¢ higher, 6.12½. July soft red unchanged, 6.37. September spring wheat 1¼ cent lower, 6.51¼. And Joe, those crop condition reports are earlier than the bulk of the official crop condition reports. But still, I feel like kind of bit of a sigh of relief on crop conditions, maybe. You know, it's not all going to come up brown.
You've seen the weather maps and how much rain some of those dry areas in the southern plains caught here over the last week. So that's kind of a negative factor for the market. Also, there was that Russia story today, and the Russian ag minister was talking about, you know, the possibility of lifting these export restrictions. That's just talk for now, but that was probably seen as being a negative. So there's some negative stuff out there.
Is that sort of similar? Is that the Russian counterpart to the Argentine talk of port strikes and things? Like, just, you know what? We're going to make some news about export stuff and see what the market does.
Well, they already have instituted this export tax, but it's what I would call, you know, a man-made supply disruption, and you can change a man-made supply disruption with the stroke of a pen. So it could go away at any point in time. It just hasn't gone away yet.
Well, rumors of China buying U.S. corn were confirmed this morning when USDA said private exporters reported 1.56 million metric tons of corn sold to China for the current marketing year. The sales come after recent price setbacks on fears rising cases of African swine fever would curtail feed demand and could lead to some prior sales getting rolled over to the next marketing year. Today's sales ease those fears. Technically, a close in May, futures above 559 and one quarter would target the contract high at 572. May corn futures 2.25 cents higher today, 553.5. July gained 3 cents, 540.75. December corn closed at 477. That's down 1.75 cents on the day, Joe.
Demand for beans is still pretty good. I know that February crush report was a little bit lower than expected, mostly because of that big winter storm we had at the end of February. I imagine that will bounce back. And actually, export sales, which I know have backed off a lot, are still really pretty good when you consider what's going on here. We've got this huge crop coming out of Brazil, granted late. The fact that we're still selling any beans at all on the export market is impressive.
All right. Well, South American weather improvements limited the upside for soybean futures in today's trade. In Argentina, more improvement in soil moisture is expected in the next 2 weeks, especially after rainfall over the weekend. Palm oil futures slipped 3% overnight, halting a 13-session rally that made it up to 13-year highs. Soy oil, however, shrugged off the weakness, rebounding from overnight losses around mid-session. Traders are focused on this week's meeting between Biden administration officials and Beijing, which may clarify China's intentions on phase one purchase agreements. May soybean futures 2.25 cents higher, 14.21¾. July beans farmed 2 cents, 14.12¼. Novi beans closed at 12.44 even, dead steady on the day, Joe.
A lot of questions about the trade deal. You haven't heard much about the trade deal recently.
No.
I mean, is there still a trade deal? Was there ever really a trade deal? Is China just buying all this stuff because they actually need it? There's a lot of question marks there. There always have been.
Let's see. May cotton firmed 28 points to 87. Even December cotton added 19 to close at 83.74. Let's get to livestock. Lower boxed beef values and a short kill run pressured fat cattle futures in today's trade. Traders continue to monitor the lackluster cash cattle market action for direction. April live cattle 92.5 cents lower at 118.20. June cattle fell 32.5 to 121.45. April feeders 60 cents higher or lower, 143.32.5. And finally, on the snout side, the pork cutout value surged $4.14 to start the week on impressive demand. Futures gapped higher early in the session and continued higher throughout the day. April lean hog futures $2.35 higher, 92.90, and June hogs gained 205 to 197.5. Hit that 100 mark in the June today.
Very solid performance. Also, really, I mean, a quiet looking day in the cattle, but they were able to shrug off some early losses and rally back. So really, that could have been a lot worse day in the hog market. Started off strong, finished strong. I think those were new contract high closes for a lot of these hog contracts. So really a good looking performance today. Guys, we have Dwayne Bussey from Bolt Marketing is going to join me today. He wants to talk about a whole bunch of stuff, grain markets, livestock markets. He wants to talk about ice fishing, which is not really my bag, but we'll talk about it. I'm gonna ask him about it because I've actually never been ice fishing.
Ice fishing?
No, never in my life. I've never done it because it's not.
You know
really
what?
It's just sitting. You just sit there.
It sounds awful.
Anyways, I'm gonna ask him about it. Joe for Chip. Be back on AgriTalk.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Dallaro Complete. Keep your operation moving forward with Dallaro Complete from Bayer.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to AgriTalk PM Edition. Joe V filling in for Chip today. Remember, if you guys have some questions, comments, observations, hit me up on Twitter, hashtag AgriTalk. I am watching here if you have questions. I don't know what that song was, but he's
a little hog market kinda, jubilation hangover.
He gets kind of trigger happy with those buttons every once in a while.
A little bit.
Joe, I think you, Joe, producer, I think you got to limit Davis's, you got to keep him on a tighter leash with this stuff. Anyways,
He can edit that out.
Yeah, it's live. We'll just edit it out. all right, let's bring Dwayne in. Hey, we've got Dwayne Bussey, Bolt Marketing. Dwayne, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you doing, Joe?
I'm doing great. How are you, my friend?
Good. I guess I'm not dealing with Davis pushing buttons in my office, so I'm probably doing better than you are right now.
That's wonderful. I'm actually doing great. It's 72 degrees here in Nashville. It's super nice out. I went for a walk right after the markets closed and then came back to do the show. And it was just a little warm in that sweatshirt. It was a little warm.
Wow. Yeah, that's not that way up here. I'm in Northeast South Dakota. It's about like 38 degrees, gloomy, cloudy, and you're going to want the sweatshirt when you walk outside.
So is ice fishing season over? I saw that picture of your son with that bass. Is that about done now?
Yeah, no, we're done now. That's why we can post pictures now. See, we're not giving away any secrets. So, no, yeah, it's done. A couple of weeks ago, it kind of, or about a week, 10 days ago or something, it got to be like, I didn't really like the color of the ice anymore, so I'm going to stay off of it now. But there is still some ice on the lakes, but I just don't trust it, you know.
Are there secrets in ice fishing?
Yeah, I was going to say, are you one of these guys? Because I see them out there on the ice, and like some of them are super hardcore. They're just out there sitting on a bucket in the middle of the lake. Like, are you one of those guys, or do you bring the tent? You got maybe a little heater with you, that kind of thing?
Absolutely not the hardcore guy. It starts the year when, you know, the ice isn't super thick and you're not driving out there with a portable tent that you pop over. But, of course, I've got a heater in there, and you got to get down to a T-shirt or sweatshirt for me to sit on a block of ice. And then you bring out what's called the ice castles, which are basically campers on wheels, and you set it down on the ice and you fish in that with your TV and your stove and oven. So it's no, I'm not hardcore at all.
That doesn't sound so bad. Yeah.
Right.
All right. We should probably talk about the markets at least a little bit. I want to talk about acreage first. And a lot of people have a lot of different ideas about acreage. And you sent me an email here with some ideas about acreage. And you and I are actually thinking kind of similarly. You have kind of a higher acreage number in mind for corn in particular?
Yeah, I do, or at least the concern of it. I'm at right now 94 million acres would be my estimate, I guess, which of course is just a guess, but
I think you're too low.
I like you pushing that way too. I was just going to say my concern is last year with a poor outlook, 3.0 billion on our old crop stocks, March 31st planting intentions was 97 million acres.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
I think clients have to be aware of the possibility of a very high corn number. And I know everyone instantly gets bullish beans and says, well, the bean number is going to be too low. Not necessarily. I'm just afraid we gain just total acres sharply, total principal crop acres this year.
Well, prices have consequences, you know. These sort of prices make a phenomenal amount of money on the farm for most people. I mean, based on the farm budgets that I've seen. So I have this thought in my head. I'm like 475 D's corn futures has to buy 97 million. It has to. That's what I keep thinking. Yeah. And I get that the beans make money too. I get that there are a couple other competing crops that make money, but that's just the thought that I've had in my head for a while now. I hope I'm dead wrong about it. I hope it's like 91. And, you know, it's light and everything's light. I feel like this is one of those reports where everyone's going to be hating the USDA like a lot, like right afterwards. Absolutely. You know what I mean?
That's the only thing I know about that report for sure is I think we're going to hate USDA afterwards. No, last year we
that's every report, though. Every report, everybody hates USDA. I mean, that's just the way it is now. It's always been that way.
Called the report right. Yeah. No, last year there was 10.6 million acres of prevent plant. In North Dakota alone, there was 2.99 million acres. Well, the whole state of North Dakota now is in the drought monitor.
Yes.
So we're going to gain a lot of those acres back. Now, I can't sit here and say we're going to gain all 10.6 million acres back, but total principal crop acres were down a lot last year too. You know, so I don't know where it all goes. But I'm just here to say that I bet you it comes back this year and with a vengeance. Like you said, I think that 96, 97, I don't think that's crazy. And I look at my S&D table then, and let's plug in your 97 million acres in there in a 180 yield. Even with good exports, you're back to 2.3 billion for an ending stock. And I think people are going to laugh at us listening to that right now. But I'm just afraid we're a little too bullish right now. And it concerns me that that's a number that could be floated out there.
Well, we all know how fast things can change. I mean, you look at the last 12 months, how quickly we went from like the greatest bear market of all time and the biggest carryout of all time in corn down to like a really tight situation. And it all happened very, very quickly. So there's no rule that says that it couldn't happen just as quickly in the other direction. And I don't think we're trying to scare anybody here necessarily, but I think we're trying to get the point across that, there is risk here, even as bullish as things seem right now, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Noah, it scares me too. I mean, nobody knows what these reports were released, and none of us know where the market's going because all of us experts in the early August of last year were bearish the 2020 outlook, and rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
We had plenty of crop, plenty of stocks, USDA said. China wasn't buying. I've never seen a flip like this before in the 20-plus years I've been doing this. It's been an amazing flip. But like you said, that can turn the other way quickly, and I'm just worried producers out there, they sold too early the 2020 crop because guys like me were saying, oh, there's not a good outlook. And now they're flipped the other way and almost fearful to sell, even though they're great profits, because they don't want to miss out on even higher profit potential. But I don't know. Makes me think of a put option as a very good strategy here, I guess.
This is not me complaining by any means whatsoever, but I had a conversation with another friend of mine who's involved in grain marketing today. And what we were talking about is how the job is kind of tricky right now, because what's your job if you're involved in grain marketing? Your job is to advise farmers how and when to sell. And what's like the thing that everybody's kicking themselves over recently? I sold grain, you know, like all these sales from the last 6-7 months, they all look bad now. And it's just something that I think the last 6 or 7 months, like farmers, like, why did I sell? Why did I sell? And being in the grain selling business is like a kind of tricky business right now, you know?
I email commentary out to our clients every morning. I put a, hey, let's mm-hmm. get a little bit more new crop hedged here up to this X percentage. My phones are dead. But if I talk about buying May or July back as a spec move, boy, we're pretty busy here. And
yeah,
that's the mentality right now, and it does make me nervous.
What do you think about the kind of the markets, like grander scheme of things, like some of these outside influences? We've got, you know, a whole bunch. Let's start with the Fed and you know, low rates, a lot of money out there. What is the influence you see that having right now, if anything?
Well, I can talk on the farm side of it. It leans back to what you and I were talking about, expanding acres. We all got some nice checks in the mail this last year, and farmers, we hate taxes with a vengeance, more than USDA, believe it or not. So we've spent some money on upgrading equipment, upgrading technology.
Yeah.
So that trend line yield, you know, I know it's a trend line, but it might curve up a little bit the next couple of years is what I'm saying. So that sort of money, you know, the whole inflation thing, I'm a believer in that too, that's going to make commodities go higher in the upcoming years.
Commodities, I talked about in my podcast this morning, I talked about how commodity markets overall, if you look at the indexes, like, you know, the Goldman Index, the Bloomberg Index, mm-hmm. they're still really cheap compared to where they were, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago. They're pretty phenomenal.
They really are, and I think that's why people hold the phone a little bit, you could say, on selling a lot, because if I look back at old charts, you know, you see a run to $8 in corn and soybeans to $18, and as tight as we are, if we have weather scares, you know, I'm not here today to say that's not a possibility. The problem is, once I say that's a possibility, it seems like my bullish clients instantly go, well, I'm not going to sell anything here then. So, yeah, it snowballs a little bit on us, doesn't it? And it is a possibility, but we need that weather scare. And my concern is, what if with this drought monitor the way it is right now, we get everything planted early and we start talking yields above trend line? You know, I'm just saying we could pull back this spring.
Yeah, that's the tricky thing about new crop when it comes to marketing, is that I think this year, even more than a lot of the last like 4, 5, 6 years, we're going to be probably more sensitive to weather maybe than we had been, because we're so tight coming into it. I mean, if you have a weather issue and the trade legitimately believes that you've got a big crop problem coming, there's no lid on new crop prices, you know?
No, and what's something I really don't have the answer to. Normally, I would step in now and say, well, but the funds are already long, Joe. You know, so yep. The market's not going to go too crazy. But now they got expanded limits. So
I know. Hey, Dwayne, we got to cut to a break here. Let's continue that expanded limits conversation when we come back. Joe V filling in for Chip. Dwayne Bussey from Bolt Marketing joining me. We will be back here on AgriTalk.
Time now for headlines ripped from Pro Farmers first thing today. Fate of Brazil's Safrinha corn crop hinges on when the rainy season might end. Winter wheat ratings improve in Kansas. Russia says it may stop interfering with grain exports once the markets stabilize. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is working with other countries on an agreement to update corporate tax rules to establish a global minimum tax. Senate Judiciary Chairman Dick Durbin said he does not see a means of reaching the White House-backed comprehensive immigration bill. And Biden chose an advocate for Native American farmers to be the top legal officer for the USDA. North Korea warns against U.S.-South Korea military exercises. And U.S. beef exports to Japan bumping up against the limit and higher duties could be triggered. Pro Farmer members were hip to all this hours ago, people. Go to tryprofarmer.com. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know?
Welcome back to AgriTalk, guys. Joe V, Standard Grain, filling in for the Chipster today. Remember, if you have any questions, comments, observations, anything you'd like to tell me, I have no idea what I'm talking about. Hashtag AgriTalk on Twitter. Davis, do we still do the quick market recap here? Is that what we do?
We can if you want to. I've got July hard red winter wheat. Yeah, 0.75 cents higher. Now's the time. 6.12.5. July soft red unchanged, 6.37. May corn futures 2.25 cents higher, 5.53.5. December corn close at 4.77, down 1.75 cents today. May soybean futures 2.25 cents higher, 14.21.75. November bean futures closed at 12.44 even, also steady on the day. May cotton firmed 28 points to 87 even. April live cattle, 92.5 cents lower, 118.20. April feeders, 60 cents lower, 143.32.5. And look out for those hogs. April lean hogs stormed, 2.35 higher, 92.90. Joe, that's what we call a quick market recap. We're done.
Thank you, David. Yeah. Thank you, Davis, who is not too tall to rock and roll, by the way. He's almost too tall. We've got Dwayne Bussey from Bolt Marketing on the show. Hey, Dwayne, I want to continue that conversation about the expanded position limits.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what CME and CFTC did was they said, okay, if you're a large speculator or the funds, as we so fondly refer to them as, you can now basically hold like anywhere from 60 to 80% more positions across the grain markets is kind of the gist of it. What do you think that means?
I think it means more extremes. You know, last week there was a lot of people talking about them extending their long positions going into this week, and maybe they are. I guess we'll find out later. To me, the market is kind of in this sideways chart pattern that I don't think it tells them to extend their long positions. But if we do have a drought, you know, around July 4th or something, and you already mentioned the tight old crop stock situation, which is no doubt out there, I think what it means is, you know, the run-up they have that much more ammunition to push the market even higher. So I think we're going to possibly, if they use these new records, they're going to go to higher highs and lower lows is what it means.
Okay, now everybody be prepared for some blasphemy here, because Dwayne sent me an email and he said that he's short-term, maybe a little bit negative, the grain markets. Before everybody starts yelling at him, let's hear him out, guys. Let's hear him. I know it's all bullish. It can never go down again. Let's hear the man out and see what he has to say about it.
I know. Actually, I was just texting another broker, Ryan Wagner, in our office, who I think is out driving right now with some more clients. And I said, man, I sounded way too bearish that first segment. I got to sound more bullish. Otherwise, I'm never going to be asked to go back on. But you're right. I am just a little bearish in the short term here. I feel like we're range bound. We don't have that new news to push the market higher. Now, you would have thought this morning with the export sales announcement to China on the corn side of things that we would have had maybe a stronger market. You know, I like you and Davis mentioned in the opening, I mean, it's fine, up 4 cents, but that's a lot of corn we just sold. So maybe that was priced in a little bit yesterday in the market. I don't think we have that news to push higher. So as the funds are long, maybe they liquidate a few long positions going into the March 31st report, because maybe they listen to a couple smart guys like you and I talking about the acreage being really big as a possibility. So that's what I'm looking for in the short term.
Okay, so because of your blasphemous comments, your penance is that you have to go on Twitter and post a summer weather map that's really dry and hot.
Okay.
And you have to post it and show it to everybody. That's the penance that you've been assigned that you have to pay for your bearish comments on the show.
I know. Never again. I apologize. Yeah.
Guys, there's always two sides to the story. That's what makes a market. And I get that sentiment is bullish, and we've got a friendly looking situation, certainly. But, you know, you've got to take both sides of the story. Let's talk about livestock a little bit. The markets have been really acting much better, yet this cash cattle can't seem to get out of the mud, but maybe it will this week. I hope so.
I think it will, Joe. If it doesn't this week, it's going to very soon. What we've been talking about for a long time is the heavy carcass data that we've had, the heavy carcass weights. But now the last 2 weeks, we've had steer carcass data drop 20 pounds in 2 weeks. The average carcass weight right now is actually a couple pounds below a year ago. And, of course, if you have extra carcass weight, that just means you have extra production, right? So we have more product to move in the market. And that also means that feedlots are backed up. And when a feedlot gets backed up, you know, they get to the point where these cattle are too fat, I have to sell them no matter what. So the packer comes in and says, I'll offer you steady money at 114. And that's where we've been for 6 weeks. I don't think the feedlots are backed up anymore. Their cattle might be a little bit lighter. You know, we flushed out all the heavy ones. So now this week they say, well, I'll give you 114. I think the feedlot might say, no, that's not good enough. If you want my cattle this week, it might take 116. So I think packers aren't going to control that market as much as they have been in the last couple of months. And I think we grind higher. I love that cutouts are going higher. And I mean, COVID relief checks coming out, you know, that should be more money in people's hands. Hopefully they go out and buy a steak and not ice fishing supplies like I might. And we can get this market moving higher.
That's a really good topic, is just demand on a lot of different fronts for a lot of different products this summer. So you would think that, okay, everybody and their brother's getting the vaccine now, right? And the distribution is actually very widespread, and it appears to be moving very quickly. This is going to be a summer potentially where people are driving and flying and going to restaurants like nobody's business. You know, you've got to assume that that's a positive for beef demand. You've got to assume also that it's bullish, like energy demand, you know, gasoline prices, crude oil. I mean, a lot of different things. There's a lot of implications that go along with this.
Right. I agree 100%. I'm actually very impressed the cattle market held in as well as it did this last year during COVID. I mean,
yeah,
we've always been taught that, you know, the cattle market goes with restaurant demand in the U.S. and restaurants closed. It wasn't like they slowed down, they closed. Now, you started to get some takeout stuff going, but this summer, boy, everyone's going to want a party. I mean,
everyone's
going to want to have a
picnic. I'm there. I'm already there. It's party time.
Me too. Everyone, let's get together. Let's cook up a bunch of steaks. And so coming out of this, I think people learned how to cook steaks and hamburger and obviously pork at home. So I think you're going to see more parties, more people going out to restaurants. The demand should be stellar. And here's a market. We talked about inflation. Here's a market, this cattle market, that really hasn't taken that next step higher yet. We're nowhere close to where we used to be. So I'm very bullish and excited about the cattle market this summer.
Yeah, and that's a market that not everybody in the world was really friendly. And people, I think sentiment starting to change a little bit with price. I mean, nothing changes sentiment like price. But it seems like there's some more positive ads out there right now. We really just got to get this cash deal going.
Yeah, that's the last thing to really go. And I understand the futures is at a premium to cash, so it's going to be hard to get, for example, that April contract to run. And, of course, when I'm talking, I'm bullish and I like the market. I'm not looking at the April contract because of that reason. We have June trading over April right now. That hasn't happened in years and years. It's been a very long time. So it is odd. So the futures market is already building in this premium, this bullishness you and I are talking about. But I just think there's so much more that it can go. You know, the number of cattle out there is always hard to really pinpoint. Now, we do have a cattle on feed report coming this Friday. I think placements are going to be down more, even though you do have cattle coming off the winter wheat fields. I still think placements are going to be fairly light. And I just think the number of cattle are kind of light in general out there for the summer and fall. But we will see, I guess. You know, like you said, the cash market has to go higher if we really want this futures to go, though. You're correct.
Let's jump back to the grains real quick, because I had a couple follow-up questions for you. So, you know, as part of that acreage report, which everybody considers March 31st acreage report, there's also a quarter week's grain stocks report, which can, in recent years especially, can be a big market mover. Lots of surprises, lots of retroactive adjustments from USDA. Is there anything like super surprising you see coming in that report, or the potential for a surprise, put it that way?
I wouldn't say super surprising. I mean, I'm leaning towards the bullish side on the stocks report, obviously, because just look at the cash market, the way it's going. I think what you will see is grain exchange hands from farmers to merchandisers during this winter. It was a nice open winter. Farmers moved it. And remember, the inverse in the market, it screamed, don't keep it, convert it to cash.
Right.
So I think you're going to see that. Now, that does fuel the fire for a rally this summer, because if farmers don't have it in their hands anymore, that's when the market can really run, if you ask me, because there's no selling pressure then. So that's what I would look for in that quarterly stocks report.
So if you had to paint, say, a bearish picture for the grain markets for the next, you know, 2-3 months, aside from weather, what would it be? Would it be cancellations of export sales? Would it be, what would it be that would really hurt this old crop market?
It would have to be those cancellations you just mentioned. I mean, that would hurt it the hardest and the quickest. I don't really think that happens, per se. Maybe a little bit midsummer you'd see some soybean cancellations as Brazil's beans are getting there and it lasts longer into our new crop marketing season. I think the bearish thing that we're seeing coming down the road is just perfect weather conditions in the U.S. And now that normally doesn't happen. We'll have a scare, but what if it is perfect for the next 2 months? You know, that'll put pressure on the funds to stay long. Joe, I actually got a question come in. They want to know where your soybean acres are at, if you're at 97 million for corn.
I'm not going to say that I'm at 97 million for corn. Like, if the newswires called me and said, what are your numbers? That's probably not what I would say. I think that both numbers are going to be bigger than what people expect. Like USDA and their ag forum, I think had like 182 combined.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be 185. Okay. And probably leaning more heavily toward corn. And that's a function of weather too, but not for this report. For the report, it's a function of the survey. And then what actually happens is a function of weather after that. Hey, Dwayne, it was good talking with you. I thought we had 3 more minutes, but I haven't hosted in a while. So thank you for coming on the show, and we'll do it again sometime. Really appreciate it. That's Dwayne Bussey from Bolt Marketing. Joe V filling in for Chip here on AgriTalk PM. If you guys have some questions, we'll get to them in the last segment. Tweet at me, hashtag AgriTalk. We'll talk to you here in a few minutes.
Never miss a story. Text NEWS to 31313 to have today's top stories delivered to your phone. I got
Welcome
a question
back.
For you, Joe V.
Yes. Go
Varsity
for it.
Varsity Joe from Standard Grain. You got any gigs booked? You and the Grease Hog?
As a matter of fact, we have some studio time booked at the end of the month. And a good friend of mine who is a fantastic drummer, he's like a legit professional drummer. He is moving to Nashville this week, as a matter of fact. So he is going to be joining us in kind of a popular studio down here at the end of the month. And we're gonna try to do some recording and record some new stuff. And it'll be more of like a full band type deal than some of our previous stuff, which is more of like a 2-man blues type thing. So yeah, I'll post it on like Twitter and stuff once it's done. It'll be a month or so. But I'm looking forward to getting
my thought. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to getting out and playing again, because, you know, during COVID, I mean, there was nowhere to play. So
exactly.
I hadn't been playing guitar a lot, and playing guitar for me is like riding a bike. I mean, I could put it down for a year and pick it up and be fine after a day or two. I'm excited for that, as a matter of fact. And we're like working on a whole bunch of new stuff for this deal. I think April 1st is when we're going in.
Oh, that's great. You know, you bring in a drummer, you got to bring in a bass player too. Now you're in for two more guys.
I don't like bass players. They're usually tall and they talk too much. And
late. You got to have them.
Yeah, no, I know. On all the bands I used to play in, like back in the day when I was a lot more serious about it than I am now, mostly because I didn't have any kids. I used to play bass on all our records, and I'll probably do that this time also.
Nice. Nice. Well, because I got to thinking about it, you know, I got together with my old crew, and we've got a couple in the books, actually. And there seems like they're like, you know, like you and Dwayne were talking about, man, there's pent up demand for something to do outside of our homes, you know, to go somewhere.
It's going to be the roaring 20s, man. This is history repeating itself.
I think so, too.
I mean, you had that Spanish flu back in, what was it, 1919? And then it was like the roaring 20s. This is going to be the roaring 20s all over again. That's what it's going to be. Yeah. It's going to be crazy, man.
Capitalize, brother. This is
I got to go out and make that like $50 for playing at a dive bar, $50 and like a six pack of PBR or whatever they pay me. And you know, I mean, I got to go out and make hay. It's going to be great.
Yeah. I hope that 2029 is a lot different than 1929.
No, it probably won't be. You know, when it repeats itself, it does the whole thing. So we got another 10 years of fun, and then it's going to be like I'll be living on a train track or something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's good for songwriting. But we also have to consider, along with that, it may get a little bit more expensive just to be alive. You know what I mean?
Everything's more expensive. Everything is more expensive now. Isn't it crazy?
Yeah, I'm thinking about gas prices, and I can't get through planting season without talking about, dude, have you seen what's happened in heating oil? I've talked about that. I think I mentioned this last week. Since November, it's been bottom left, top right ever since. Yes. We're almost bumping up on $2 in the heating oil. And to me, X equals expensive diesel.
Mm-hmm. You know, the list of commodities that haven't really rallied a lot is getting smaller and smaller. It's like every commodity is just kind of getting going now. And the energies were one of the kind of earlier ones, but you know, crude at like $64 is not entirely expensive. Historically, you know, we go back 15 years, that's really not that bad.
Nope. Yeah, it's not horrible. But
retail gas was more expensive just 2 or 3 years ago, I think, for a little while. But there was that whole period from, you know, was it 2011 through 14 or something, where we were above $3 nationally for years. I mean, it was there for a long time. I hope we don't go back to that, but it wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, I think if there is a bright spot, it might be in the natural gas coming down. And, you know, I know it's too late for nitrogen prices for spring, but it could turn out maybe fall nitrogen applications are going to be the way to go again. I was talking with Kirk Hins from BAMWX for Farm Journal Field Days, the planning edition today. Go to farmjournalfielddays.com. It's free. Anyway, I asked him specifically, what's going on up in the Northeast? How close are we to that tipping point to where home heating season is almost over? We can start to see heating oil prices come down. We see natural gas prices maybe begin to drift a little bit lower seasonally. And it sounds like weather-wise anyway, we may be over the hump up there. And so I don't know, maybe it's not as bad as I fear on the diesel side because of the home heating oil prices coming down. And looking ahead, I'm just trying to find a reason to be bearish on fertilizers, and I got to look out to fall, and I still can't even really make the case. Joe?
It's kind of tough in this environment to be bearish like any commodity to any real significant extent. It just seems like the dips are bought, the bearish news is shrugged off. We talked with Dwayne how there's, you know, expanded position limits and all this stuff now. So these large speculators, big institutional money can hold much bigger positions than they could have just last week. If we're really in for some sort of inflationary cycle, which I know a lot of people have talked about, you know, all this stimulus, all this extra money out there, you know, commodities have a story here, I think, if that's going to be the case.
Yeah, and then I hate to even bring it up.
And that'd be a test. Like if you get one of these commodities like natural gas that defies the fundamentals and keeps rallying even though it's not supposed to seasonally. I mean, stuff like along those lines, then that's like mm-hmm. your sign that this money, this managed money is not, I mean, they're interested in the fundamentals always, but that they're just interested in owning commodities as an inflation hedge, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know,
interesting times we're living in. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And you know, just a couple of quotes I pulled from the conversation, you know, that you pointed out, and it's a great thing to always keep in mind. Prices have consequences. And then Dwayne saying maybe we're just a little too bullish here.
He sent me an email and he reminded me that he would post that weather map. And I said, dude, I'm just kidding. You don't have to do that.
It's going to be sunny and warm.
I don't have any real power here. I can't tell anybody what to do. I don't even work here. I'm just a guest.
The big green leafy microphone is yours for today for like another 30 seconds. So
yeah, that's right.
You know.
Well, on that note, thank you for tuning in, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Thanks to Dwayne Davis, who's on tomorrow. I know
we got Margie Echocamp with the Farmer Forum tomorrow, and tomorrow afternoon, I'm not real sure. Oh,
well,
you know
I'll
what? It's
back.
A Bubba day tomorrow afternoon. It's Bubba. We're going to open the shoe.
Oh, Bubba's going to be on. I haven't seen Bubba in a while.
Don't miss it.
All right, good
it.
Deal. Well, you guys have fun. Joe V filling in for Chip. Everybody have a nice afternoon. Catch you later.